In February of 2021, three severe winter storms swept through Texas. The state was not prepared. The extreme weather triggered what many have called the worst energy infrastructure failure in Texas state history. More than 5 million people were left without heat or running water in the bitter cold for days. This is Up First Sunday. I'm Rachel Martin, and today we're thinking about power, not the kind found in corporate boardrooms or in the halls of Capitol Hill, the kind that comes out of the grid, the kind that fuels our lives. It's been a year and a half since that massive power outage, but it's still very present in the minds of a lot of Texans. They've got questions about whether the state power grid can hold up to the extreme winters and summers that are becoming increasingly common in Texas and across the country. NPR's Austin member station, KUT, has been looking at what happened in Texas, and they've done so in their podcast. It's called The Disconnect. The host is KUT senior reporter Mose Bouchel. Coming up, I'm going to talk with Mose about the events in Texas and what they tell us about the challenges ahead. But first, let's take a listen to a bit of The Disconnect from Season 2, Episode 1.
I'm Mose Bouchel, and this is The Disconnect: Power, Politics, and the Texas Blackout. After the big blackout, a lot of people tried to tell us that things were under control.
The crisis in Texas last winter must never happen again.
Some energy companies like this one.
Calpine is working hard to do its part.
State regulators.
The lights will stay on.
Policymakers in Austin have taken important steps to address winter's challenges.
It became like a running refrain.
We understand that winter is coming, and we will be ready.
And Calpine shares their commitment to provide Texans with affordable and reliable power that they can trust.
Governor Greg Abbott even offered a straight-up guarantee in an interview with the Austin Fox affiliate.
Can you give a guarantee that the lights are going to stay on?
I can guarantee the lights will stay on.
But to other people, it all sounded like bullshit.
When you flip that switch at any hour, what comes on is people power.
This winter, I have been prepping by buying extra peanut butter and dried beans.
SpaghettiOs.
I filled my pantry with dry goods.
Corn.
We're stockpiling about 30 gallons of gas.
Battery-powered lanterns, like camping lanterns.
I bought car tires.
We have emergency water and food.
I bought a space heater.
Space blankets.
We are having our fireplace repaired.
Plastic sheeting in case we have to seal off parts of the house.
If it looks like we're gonna get hit with a big winter storm, my plan is literally to leave the state.
You live better, Texas, electrically.
Eventually, the cold weather returned. Almost a year to the day after the blackout, another winter storm came through.
We begin with ERCOT issuing a winter weather watch through Sunday.
During this storm, at the very start of February 2022, Governor Abbott and a bunch of other state officials all got together in a ballroom at the DoubleTree Hotel in Austin. They did a press conference to show how prepared they were.
First, I want you to know that we are utilizing every applicable state agency to make sure that Texas will robustly respond to this extreme cold winter storm that is going to be sweeping across Texas.
It was a little hard to follow. They said that this was a bad storm, but everything was going to be fine. But some people will lose power, but if they do, it's not our fault.
Storm, and there are a variety of reasons why people may lose power.
But also, maybe we're all in big trouble.
Well, listen, no one can guarantee that there won't be a, quote, load shed event.
Remember, load shed means blackout.
What we will work and strive to achieve and what we're prepared to achieve is that the power is going to stay on across the entire state.
I guess we're going to do this again, huh?
Yeah, I'm still recording myself every time it gets cold out.
So it's around 5 in the morning, and this is right around when the rain is supposed to turn to ice here in Austin. Last couple days, everyone's been very, very nervous. A lot of panic buying at grocery stores. I was at HEB yesterday morning, and there are already tons of people out. By the end of the day, it looked like a lot of the shelves were bare. So there doesn't seem like there's much going on out here right now. I think I might try to get back and maybe get another hour of sleep if I can before we see how this thing really shakes out.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. We have a lot of ground to cover today because there's a lot of important information that we want to share with the public.
Later that morning, everyone was back in that ballroom at the Doubletree to hear the governor deliver the good news.
First, the power grid. The power grid is performing very well at this time.
And behind him was that old familiar graph showing electricity supply and electricity demand.
It shows that there is plenty of power available at this time.
The message was clear. We fixed it.
The Texas electric grid is more reliable and more resilient than it's ever been.
Public Utility Commission Chairman Peter Lake.
The grid remains strong, reliable, and it is performing well in this winter weather event.
And ERCOT's interim CEO, Brad Jones.
We have a high degree of confidence in our grid. We feel very comfortable in our current situation. Thank you.
It actually happened a couple times last winter. A cold snap hits, state officials say not to worry, but also maybe play it up so they can take credit for when things go okay. And meanwhile, energy experts, meteorologists, other people, they point out that nothing that we've been through really measures up to last year's big storm. None of it really proves that the grid is, you know, fixed. And then came the summer.
ERCOT is asking you to conserve power because of extreme heat and potential for rolling blackouts. The company says
record hot temperatures, record electricity demand, and a power grid that seems like it's teetering on the edge in the heat, not just the cold.
What we found on Friday was a rapidly changing situation for the grid, and we decided to make a call for conservation on that Friday and throughout the weekend.
Stuck trying to make sense of it are everyday Texans. They're paying more for power that they're still not confident will always be there. Many are still living in the tragic aftermath of last year's blackout, and a lot are even living their lives differently, out of concern for the next one.
The lights will stay on.
Can you really say that with 100% certainty that there's not going to be another kind of power failure like we saw before?
Absolutely.
There's this huge disconnect between what we're hearing from the people in charge and what most of us continue to believe. So what about the grid has changed? What hasn't? What still should? And how is our own uncertainty transforming what it means to live in Texas?
Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Mose Bushell about how Texas still hasn't dealt with the toll of the disaster. Stay with us. Okay, so Mose, clearly there is this lingering distrust between Texans and their government when it comes to the power grid. And from your reporting, this anxiety about the power going out isn't just a winter issue, right? It's also a summer issue.
Yeah, it's really been wild to watch this unfold because, as you know, the big blackout happened in February 2021. It was a massive winter storm. And so immediately after that event, you know, everyone's kind of dealing with the fallout and they're worried what's going to happen the next winter. We went into last winter with a lot of anxiety over how the grid was going to hold up in the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the weather just wasn't as bad as we saw in 2021. We had some cold fronts come through, but we made it through that winter all right. Then suddenly we're hit with this outrageously hot summer in Texas. And it's been hot in a lot of parts of the country. Texas has been one of them. We've had close to 70 triple-digit days just here in Austin where I live. It's been hot all over the state.
Wow.
And suddenly the grid is getting strained by this extreme heat. So just as people kind of thought that they had made it through the winter, we're getting conservation calls from our state grid operator. People are being asked to conserve power. We've had a few days when it's approached emergency situations. We've not encountered anything close to the big blackout that started our reporting project, but there is still a lot of concern and a lot of fear. And it's really highlighted the fact that this can happen in extreme weather in either case. You know, this is not a cold weather issue or a warm weather
issue. Right, you get it coming and going.
Yeah.
So there's all this distrust, there's all this anxiety. And at the same time, I mean, it's not just an inconvenience, right? I mean, this event caused a loss of life. In February 2021, when the power grid failed, people died.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people died. And this is something that we try to stay close to in our reporting, just to constantly remind people of the cost of a failure like this. It's something that we look into in terms of the way that it's accounted for, too. After the big blackout, the state of Texas eventually came out with a list that it kind of referred to as its official count of fatalities stemming from the blackout. They put that number at 241 people that they believe died as a result of the winter storm and blackout. But many people have much higher estimates. And in fact, it seems likely that the real number is significantly higher than that.
I mean, Mohs, in your reporting with those who lost loved ones during or because of the blackout, what are some of the stories that stayed with you?
We interviewed one family actually from here in Austin, from North Austin, the Shaws, who lost their mother in the blackout. The cause of death they ultimately attributed to her passing was hypothermia. And they had been stuck in their house, you know, without power for days. By the time they took her to the ER, it was too late. And the generosity they showed us in sharing their story with us was overwhelming. Their story is also, I think, really illustrative of how long-lasting the effects of this event can be. And in fact, they lost their father as well. A few months after their mother passed away, their elderly father died. And and they believe, very understandably, that his death was related to the death of his wife. You know, that essentially after she passed away, he wasn't going to be around much longer. In a way, this shows how this kind of tragedy can have after effects that might not be represented in the official numbers, but that linger with us, and really horrible things that families are still going through and losses that they're still mourning, even, you know, over a year after this thing happened.
To what degree, Mohs, does Texas stand alone in this crisis? I mean, does it portend anything else for other states, other power grids, especially when you think about climate change?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. It became clear during the blackout and afterwards that Texas is unique in that it has its own power grid.
Right.
And we have some very unique, specific things to our energy system here that came to bear in our situation. But the reality is that these types of crises are happening more often across the country. We have an aging infrastructure that has just not seen much investment over the decades. And it's aging right as extreme weather is hitting us because of the climate crisis. And these two things working in tandem are posing challenges that we're going to have to confront. And that is not unique to Texas. That is something that we're seeing all over the country. And so I think that is worth remembering.
So a lot of these decisions are going to come down to state lawmakers and regulators. But what about ordinary Texans? I mean, in conversations with people, are they talking to you about preparations that they are trying to make? I mean, it's hard to imagine what an individual can do up against a broken power grid. But what are they telling you?
They absolutely are. And, you know, it really depends on your resources. And this is one of the big questions that come out of this. After the blackout, we saw more and more people go out, buy generators, backup power systems, more people showing interest in things like solar panels with battery backups, just different ways that you could maybe kind of hack your system so that you'd have extra power in the event of another widespread failure like this. Of course, that's only available to the people that can afford it, right? And you begin to see what could be kind of two paths. You know, those with the means might be able to assure their energy security, so to speak, in their own homes in the event of a crisis, while the rest are left with a more public system that is just increasingly unreliable. That's one possible future that we're looking at. And that's, I think, something that frightens a lot of people. But to answer your initial question, yes, people are still nervous, trying to prepare as best they can, and there's still a lot of anxiety around this issue.
People all over the state have questions. One of the ones that I get most often is really a pretty straightforward one.
My only question is, have you seen any improvements? Do you have any faith in this grid?
It's a big question because the power grid itself keeps changing. The state is bigger than it was in 2021, so energy demand is higher, even though much of the grid is older. It's more worn down, right, as a climate crisis keeps battering the entire system with extreme weather. So even if you could forget about the blackout, these things alone force us to ask if we're doing enough to protect ourselves. And finally, there's the personal side. For most of us, the changes have been subtle, but they're still present in the background. We get anxious when the weather turns ugly. We're paying extra for our electric bills. Some of us are getting angry when we're asked to conserve electricity. And some are making big changes to our homes or our lives just on the chance that things will fall apart again. It's like the blackout is one of those events when there is a before and an after. So what does it mean to live in the after? These are the things that we're going to tackle in the following episodes.
Our thanks to Mose and the rest of his team at KUT. This episode of Up First Sunday was produced by Justine Yan. Jenny Schmidt is our editor. I'm Rachel Martin. Up First is back tomorrow with all the news you need to start your week. Have a great rest of your Sunday.